It is day 12 of competition in Salt Lake City today, and the star attraction has to be Michelle Kwan, the 21-year-old figure skater who won the silver medal 4 years ago in Nagano. Today, she launches her bid for the gold.
Far fewer eyes are likely to be following today's cross-country skiing races. The sport has been part of the Winter Olympics since 1924. But while Europeans routinely camp out in below-freezing temperatures to assure the best viewing spots, Americans are, for the most part, numb to the sport. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
American Olympics viewers like sequins and judging scandals, velocity and high-speed crashes. Cross-country skiing offers none of this.
I know there's a lot of people in the stands that have never seen a cross-country race before. Are you disappointed?
Last week, there were more American reporters covering a routine press conference on security than all of the Nordic events combined. Author Bill McKibben writes about cross-country skiing. He says the TV never shows it, the newspapers barely mention it, and the faithful of this small church fume and smolder.
Maybe because not everybody lives where it snows, maybe because it seems like too much work, and maybe because when they have the Olympics, they just put the darn figure skating on the TV night after night after night.
So much so that Nordic fans during the last Winter Games sent CBS emails asking if the sport would get more coverage if the name was changed to cross-country ice dancing. McKibben says the slight is unjustified. While it may look easy, both classic style and skate style cross-country skiing require coordination, endurance, and the ability to breathe while you're doing the impossible. Luke Bodensteiner, who raced in the 92 and 94 Winter Games, is now the director of the U.S. Nordic team.
It's been sort of a silent sport, or one that doesn't get a whole lot of recognition. It's hard. It's tough. It takes a real special athlete to do this sport. And yeah, no, I think they haven't got the recognition that they deserve for sure.
It's routine to see cross-country skiers collapse, even throw up at the finish line. They ski up and down steep 10% grades on hairpin turn courses that are as long as 50 kilometers. But only once in 1976, when Bill Koch revolutionized the sport by skating on his skis and winning the silver medal, has cross-country ever had an American hero. It was the first and only U.S. medal in the sport.
We're always going to be the underdogs, that's for sure.
Why is that?
Well, you know, you look at Scandinavia or even in... not so much in Central Europe, but even in Central Europe, culturally, it's more of a sport that people pay attention to, that people want to participate in. Yeah, people ski to school. I mean, you go, and even in the summer, you'll see, you know, the ski heroes on a game show. That's a tough thing to overcome when, you know, people don't know who Carl Swenson is or Torben Kuss or Nina Kempel.
Nina Kempel across the finish line, 19th place down for the United States at 30-51.
In the back of the pack, little known and underappreciated in this country, U.S. skiers are embraced in Europe, where the sport is revered. U.S. skier Carl Swenson talks of crowds of 200,000 lining the course before dawn in Norway.
When you go to a venue just outside of Oslo, I mean, there's people out there smoking and drinking and yelling, and they're camped out all night, and it'd be like going to a stock car race or something in the U.S. I mean, it's a mainstream sport. They might not even be skiers, a lot of them are, but they're there to watch the racers, and you just don't get that kind of spectators here in the U.S.
Swenson, in his second Olympics, races mountain bikes in the summer to support his skiing habit. His body resembles his skis, thin. As he glides along, he's simply muscle and lungs. He skis everything from the long-distance 30K to the 1.5K sprint race, which is held in heats of 4.
So you have to be in good enough shape to recover between each heat. And it's not like a 100-yard dash. It's a kilometer and a half. It'd be like being a miler on the track, but you had to do 4 heats to win the finals. So it's a...
The word Swenson is looking for is grueling, but it's not a word he'll use. The cross-country ethos is how much you can hurt yourself without letting anyone know. Swenson is a typical Nordic skier, understated, a member of what writer McKibben calls a mild sob-driving tribe. It's understandable that a fast-paced culture that thrives on exhilaration has little appreciation for stoic skiers gliding over long-distance courses. These are not the bad boy athletes Americans adore, athletes with attitude in beer commercials who crash motorcycles. Nordic director Bodensteiner winces at the comparison and says the sport's doing everything it can to be more interesting in this country.
We have a lot of new race formats, such as the sprint, which is a really spectator-friendly event. The mass start, same thing, where all the athletes are starting together. And so it's a lot more fun to watch. It's not the old-style ski racing where they take off every 30 seconds and go into the woods and you see them come in back, you know, again half an hour later.
The course at Soldier Hollow, designed for these games, is dramatically different. From the stadium, you can see most all of the race. With few trees, lots of loops, and rolling hills, there's always a skier in sight. John Arlberg designed the venue, which is the busiest of the games, hosting 18 events. Arlberg, a cross-country Olympian himself, longs for the attention the sport receives elsewhere.
I skied in Lillehammer, and I remember a couple of mornings I was out training. It was probably below zero. And people was just out there in tents, just waking up. Some of them were sleeping outside, even.
Arlberg's hope is that the venue at these games will inspire some of that same dedication in this country.
Everybody that comes out here gets very surprised by how fun it is to watch. I've invited the best, we call them announcers, or play-by-play announcing, to come here. They're Europeans, and their English is great. To make it fun.
And she is too late to steal the lead away from Danilova. Danilova's opening.
Still, despite photo finishes, the first tie of the games, and countless come from behind wins, cross country barely makes the nightly broadcast. But judging from the sold out crowds at Soldier Hollow, Arlberg's efforts are paying off. Over the weekend, for the third time in a row in the Winter Games, Norway and Italy were head-to-head in the men's 10K relay. The crowd could see the racers over the entire course, and it was anything but boring. And the U.S. team didn't disappoint, with a surprising fifth place as well.
And now we've got a dramatic finish coming up here. That's Christian Hoffman coming around the far turn. Carl Swenson from the United States.
But the devotees of the sport, the Norwegians, were already celebrating in the stands, wrapped in flags and toasting one another with watery 3-2 beer. Martin Hagenstugan from Oslo, in Viking headgear, has been to 6 Olympic Games solely for the cross country.
Are the crowds as good here?
No, we have too few Norwegians.
What is it like in a race in Norway?
They go out the day before the race and they make a tent, yeah, and they stay out even if there is minus 30 degrees, and they make food and laugh, and they see the racers only once.
Here on this course, tents have been discouraged for security reasons, but Hagenstugan and his friends are in a nearby parking lot in a camper. As for how best to create interest in this country, Hagenstugan says Americans have to get off the couch. He says there's only one way to understand this sport.
Go out and try it.
Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Salt Lake City.
Ladies and gentlemen, this race isn't over. Let's wave our flags. Let's ring our bells. Let's have ourselves an